Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
You're annoying, and so am I.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
I successfully made a chia pet grow.
With Margaret Apples
and Amy Wilson.
Looking around, am I? Looking around, clothes.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to. Everything's trying to take care of me, and it's just moving my life in the wrong direction.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. And today, okay, we annoy ourselves also.
We're looking at the man in the mirror, Amy. Yeah. We're asking her to stop leaving the cabinet doors open.
Yeah, I mean, we are always here to tell you that you have the right to be mad at other people for truly, completely trivial and irritating things that they do. But, I mean, sometimes we're also annoying.
And we are often here to tell our spouses that they're terrible people yeah. who leave omelet pans around and also forget to do the things we need them to do.
Yep, yep.
But today's the day where we're turning it around and examining the annoying things that we do.
Yes.
On our very own sums.
Yes. I'll tell you what I do that I think is totally annoying and I can't stop doing it. I, like, when I'm running the water to fill up, I totally do it to fill up the coffee pot. I run the water, I fill it, and then I look at it, and then I go like, and I put in like 10 more milliliters. Like, I have to run it again just a little bit, just to top it off. I can't explain why.
Before we get to that, we have a new segment.
Oh, right. Sometimes I annoy myself when I forget the new segment.
Guys, we're not great at remembering our new segments. I'm sorry. We're always like, let's start with this. And then 5 minutes in, I'm like, wait. It's literally, we work off of notes. And in giant letters, it says, do mailbag. And we forgot. So anyway, let's do our mailbag.
Okay. All right.
Amy, you take us into the mailbag. We need a sound. We need like a, we're opening the mailbag. We need a theme song. That's not it.
Okay. All right. Hopefully that. TBD. We have two entries in the mailbag because these were both so good. I wanted to honor them both. Madigan wrote to us and said, thank you for telling me this is as hard as I think it is. Thank you for making me laugh when I didn't think that was possible. Madigan had a really rough 2020. So let's hope that Madigan's year improves in 2021 with everybody else's.
Yes. For you and for us all, please.
Yeah. And the other mailbag entry is from Hannah. This is so good. I wanted to make sure everybody said this. Just listening to the Your Life Begins Again episode, she wrote, and I just wanted to share a tip for vomiting in the car. It is a tip from ER nurses, but I've tried it myself while pregnant and with my kids, and it works. Smelling isopropyl alcohol interrupts something and helps with nausea, so I keep a small essential oil-sized bottle of isopropyl alcohol in the car, and if anyone is feeling bad, they sniff it. I looked this up, guys. It's a thing. I'll put the link in the show notes to a New York Times article about it. It somehow interrupts what's happening in your brain, and the nausea goes away.
That is shocking. Like, I can't imagine anything I would want to do less when I was feeling nauseous than smell isopropyl alcohol, but I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Don't say we didn't tell you anything today, guys. If you would like to be featured on our segment that we often forget called Mailbag, you can write to us at info@whatfreshhellpodcast.com. And we love hearing from you.
Okay. So we went to our Facebook group, facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast. And we asked you guys, what is the thing you do that most annoys yourself? Lead us off, Margaret.
Some of these were super random. Some of them were not that random. But we're going to start at the random end of the pool. Amy, with Chelsea, who says, I am the loudest puker.
Okay.
I do not know why, but I can't throw up all cute and quiet like everyone else. So I take, there's a lot to unpack here, as they say, Amy. I don't think a lot of people are cute, quiet pukers, but go ahead. It's got to come from deep in my soul. My dad used to yell at me as a kid for it.
Chelsea, I also do this. I can't explain it. Like, there's some switch that's supposed to throw that you don't like yell while you puke. And I have the same problem. I'm so loud and I can't stop it.
I think I'm just a medium puker. I was once on the New York City subway with a woman who was almost certainly pregnant. She was with her, I assume, spouse, a dude. And she had a little bag with her. And she was just like, she was barfing. Like, I think she had morning sickness, but she was still going to work. And she was throwing up in a way that I think I was the only person on the car who realized she was throwing up. She had some sort of receptacle and she was just like, blip. And like,
it was all cute and quiet.
It was cute and quiet. But I will say that to me, that was a remarkable feat. I was like, that person is a silent puker. I don't think I've ever seen that before. And probably she had bad morning sickness and was used to it. And her husband was kind of like gently patting her on the back. But otherwise, they were like, this is just another day at the office that this lady pukes on the subway on the way to work. But I will say that there is a member of my family who I will not identify with any identifying information who is a loud sneezer. I mean, when I say a loud sneezer, it is like a barking seal combined with a person who has had a piano dropped on their foot before the sneeze comes out. And it is the most shocking noise. Like, members of my family have dropped glassware when this person sneezes. It comes out of nowhere. And it's suddenly like, has someone been run over by a car? Oh, no, that person is just sneezing. And I, for many years, was like, this must be a bit. Like, nobody sneezes like this. I don't understand what this is.
Nah, I feel their pain. It's totally annoying and I do it.
You're a loud puker or a loud sneezer or both?
I'm a pretty loud sneezer, but it's really my puking that will wake the neighbors.
Okay, I know we're not supposed to throw our spouses under the bus in this, but I have to do it, Amy. I'm sorry. My husband believes that he can sneeze without covering his nose because he controls his sneezing.
So nothing comes out when he sneezes, he believes?
That's what he believes, yes.
Okay.
He believes that he has dominion over his sneezes. And it has been an ongoing fight in our marriage. And I have finally just reached a point where I'm like, it is not acceptable for you to not cover your nose when you sneeze. And he often will just go back to this defense of like, I control my own sneezes. And I'm like, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
And you're gross. And also, please, it's a pandemic. Cover your nose when you sneeze.
My kids are fierce elbow shamers. Like, you know, I grew up learning that your nose and mouth when you sneezed with your hand, with your open palm. I mean, terrible idea, but that's what the nuns taught us. So now these days, it's you sneeze into your elbow.
Chicken wing.
But my husband's sneezes are like, he gets up into like boy soprano range, but only when he sneezes. Really, really high.
He's like, ha-choo! Like that?
Yeah. Yeah, like that. Like he's jumping off a building. And
really weird. Now I'm going to picture that every time I see your husband.
But he doesn't sneeze into his elbow. He sneezes into his hand. And my kids, like, oh, they're just ready to make a citizen's arrest every time. They're so mad.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where you got to drill. You know what we always say on the podcast, guys, they're not going to do what you say. They're going to do what you do.
Right.
So I've become a chicken winger. It's not my favorite, but I get the idea that like sneezing at your hand and then shaking someone's hand is disgusting.
Let's not go back to that ever.
Yeah, let's just maybe not go back to shaking hands. It's such a weird, but I just was having a debate with friends of like what could replace it. And I said, just like hands in front of your heart, like hello, like you don't have to bow. It's like kind of the bow posture, but you don't bow.
You don't have to show the back of your neck to your enemy in case he'd like to decapitate you.
Exactly. You just put your hands in front of your heart. But then they were like, no, that's horrible. It's cheesy and new agey. I'm like, I just want something. I don't want to bump elbows. It's like,
what is that? That's not cheesy, but is it cheesy?
It's just it's weirdly intimate. Like you have to raise your armpit to the person. I don't want that. I want something new. So guys, let's start a Facebook thread. Can you think of a new way of greeting each other? I just feel like simply if you, when you saw people, you just put your two hands together like you were praying and said hi, that would be fine.
What if you like wink and give them like the little finger gun like you're in the Rat Pack with them?
No, no, unacceptable, unacceptable, and too many layers to even go into, Amy. No, that didn't go great.
All right, I was just brainstorming. I'll keep at it.
This is a funny one that many people have, responding to text messages only in my head.
Guilty as charged.
You know what I do all the time, and Amy can attest to this because I've had this problem. I'll say to her, well, you know, did you get my email? We need to do this. And then she's like, what email? I didn't get an email from you. I have the problem where I write the whole email and then I don't hit send.
You like minimize the window or like it just stays open?
I don't know. I must like have a minute where I'm like, let me think of the proper way to send off. Like, do I want to go with sincerely or warm regard? Whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'm sure one of my kids is like, I need help with my social studies. And then I get up and I'm like, oh, I wrote that email already, but I just found it this morning. I was like, what is in my drafts folder? And it was an email that was supposed to go out yesterday. It's terrible.
Aye. Tina says that she'll have a whole conversation in her head as she's doing other things and not realize until later she didn't actually respond. I totally do this.
Many agreeers on this. Oh, I was thinking I went out to take my daughter to school and the whole car was iced in with these really annoying like crystal, like it looked like snowflakes stuck to the window. It looked like a design, like a winter wonderland design. But I'm in my bathrobe because I didn't get dressed. I'm like, I just have to drop her at the curb. It's fine. And then I'm out in my bedroom slippers trying to scrape them off with the ice scraper, you know? And I was like, it's 2020. Why haven't we invented a car that can do this? And I was like, oh, I'm sure there is a car that can do this. We just don't own that car because this car is, you know, 15 years old. But, and then I was going down this whole rabbit hole of like, yeah, the more we improve our lives, we never get there, do we? Like, it's like we keep inventing things to make life easier and easier and easier. Because I was thinking we should invent something that like alerts you if you didn't respond to the text. But it's like, I can't have any more alerts. Everything's trying to take care of me and it's just moving my life in the wrong direction.
You know what I do that's totally annoying? I don't acknowledge or answer voicemails. I forget they're there for 6 weeks. I mean, like a doctor's office will be like, we have called you 4 times. And like, well, what'd you do that for? What'd you leave me a message for? I forget it's there. And I tell myself I won't do it. And then I do it again.
I am trying to move all the people in my life into a post phone world.
Yes.
I don't want the phone. Every once in a while, now when my phone rings, it is one of my sisters. Or possibly it is you, but we don't even really talk by phone.
It has to be an emergency.
Well, every once in a while, what happens is I'll send like 6 texts and I'm like, I'm just going to call because by the time I explain this by text, it's too complicated. Like, but who's calling each other anymore? I like to talk on the phones with my sister, but I keep telling them, just hang up. You don't have to leave the message that's like, hey, it's me. Call me back. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. I'll see. My phone tells me that you called and I will call you back.
Yeah. Don't leave me a message.
And then people are always like, did you hear my voicemail? Because if you do leave, I never listen to voicemails. Never. Never. Voicemails are outmoded. We have to stop them.
In other news, Meg says she's afraid of her toaster, so she unplugs the toaster oven at night because she worries it'll explode while she sleeps.
I mean, hilarious.
Are you annoyed by that, Meg?
Hilarious? This is not me. This is a different Meg because I am not afraid. I have many fears, but my toaster is not one of them. This is the kind of thing that I feel like I hear people say sometimes, like, we never use the dryer when we're out of the house. Or like, we blah, 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 blah. In fact, I just had this debate. My brother-in-law is convinced that there's no danger in having a Christmas tree in your house. Now, we were raised that like, if you left a real Christmas tree in your house overnight, you would come back to your house like charred in ruins. Like, we were raised to fear that the Christmas tree was just a giant fire hazard. And at any second, it was going to light on fire. And so we usually have a fake tree now because we travel usually at the holidays. And so I don't want to take the tree down Christmas night and then go away the next day. And my brother-in-law was like, that's insane. The tree is not going to light on fire in the 4 or 5 days you're away. I would never do it, though. I mean, he didn't convince me. I think that's mania.
I mean, it's not the 1870s and you're putting actual little lit candles on the branches.
Yeah, I guess that's his point was like, this is not a thing. And my mind was blown. But then other people are like, I would never use my dryer when I leave the house. And I'm like, what is that? That seems nuts to me. But we all have our phobias, people. Shannon is a plant murderer, Amy.
Yeah, I mean, Shannon has dead plants in her house all the time. That's the problem.
She can't keep plants alive. No flowers, veggies, or pretty plants in the yard. Everyone in my family has the magic touch with gardens, and I just kill everything.
Me too. I have cactus. I've gotten like succulents, like little cactuses. I have a couple of those around my house. Those I can keep alive. They don't want water. They reject it so they can stay alive.
I now have a Chia Yoda that one of my children got for Christmas.
Nice.
I successfully made a Chia pet grow, but I don't keep live plants in my house. So I don't know from this. Every once in a while we get cut flowers and put them out. And my garden is medium. It's mediocre. It's not great, but it's not terrible. I just don't like that kind of work. Like, that's not my idea of fun, going out and taking care of a garden.
Which, right, it's a creative act. And if it's not your thing, it's not your thing.
Not my thing.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more things that totally annoy ourselves.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SPORTSRESEARCH, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Amy, let's start with Gina. Okay. I do this exact same thing, stopping the microwave. I have zero patience and therefore insist on stopping the microwave even when it has 1.09 seconds left.
Yes.
But I do it because I don't like the beeping sound.
The beeping sound.
The greatest thing that ever happened to me was when alarms became like brrr, anything but like meh, meh, meh. I cannot stand that sound of an alarm going off.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Gina is just very impatient for whatever she is heating up. And she's like, all right, let's just call it. But I do this with the toaster. It drives my husband crazy. I go to toast a piece of toast and then I pop it up because I'm like, it must be done by now.
You quietly pop it up before the loud pop up?
No, I just pop it up because I really want toast.
Okay.
And so I pop it up like 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
If I would just leave it, it would be done faster. But I pop it up to be like, isn't it done? I really want my toast. And then it takes probably 3 times as long because I've interrupted the cycle.
I was watching TV with my daughter and we were boiling water for tea. And she got very agitated when the water was like about to boil, like the sort of, you know, gathering steam sound that happened. She's like, the water's about to boil. Like it was a, it took a bit to get it. Like we needed to get it off before it started to whistle to let us know it was ready. That was something that had to be beaten with, like, I don't know, survivor being thrown off the island level stakes.
Yeah.
If we didn't get to it before it whistled. So I think she shares this annoying trait.
I know we're not doing things we can't live without, but I must interrupt and say, I had a tea kettle that I loved and my husband one day left it on the burner and I think like went to the store.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You told us about this. Yes.
He murdered my tea kettle.
Yes. He's paid the price.
To make up for his crimes, he bought me an electric tea kettle And I have to say, it's a game changer. I don't think I'm ever going back again. You press a button and like 60 seconds later, you have boiling hot water. It's a miracle.
And it doesn't whistle. It's just there for you.
No, it's just like, do you want hot water right now? I will do that for you. And I have to say, I love it.
Could it all be that simple?
We have a lot of things in the kind of general OCD category.
Yeah, yeah.
Rachel can only turn one way when pulling out of a parking spot.
Okay. That's annoying, Rachel. If the exit's the other way, I'm pretty annoyed.
I am borderline crippled by OCD. Like, I have so many stupid rituals and stuff that I have to do. I'm working on it, but it's not going great. And this is the kind of thing, I remember being a, not a kid, but maybe a teenager, and like talking to my cousins and being like, I can only do things in eights. I can only do, and like one of my other cousins was like, me too. And it was like that thing of, I am not an alien from outer space. This is something people do. But I have about a million of these. Nicole can only do things in multiples of eight. Stir the batter, shake salad dressing, walk up the stairs.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any of this stuff?
I don't identify, but I definitely have a family member who wants the remote control volume to be turned up and down only in multiples of five. Like, don't turn it up to 12. It has to be 15 or 10.
Yes.
And like, that's annoying, but okay.
No. I mean, that's exactly how I have, you know, on my exercise bike. It's like, it has to be, even if it's too hard, it has to be at 42. It can't be at 41. Like, it's insane. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Nissa says she counts the stairs when climbing them. I don't know if it's annoying so much as kind of odd.
It's annoying if you do it out loud.
Yeah, but it's annoying to yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. We're annoying ourselves with these things. That's right.
No. It's annoying to yourself because you're like, why can I only eat things in bites of four? It's just weird.
Courtney can only start tasks on 15-minute increments. Then she gets annoyed with herself when she misses the time. And then I guess you have to wait 14 minutes. That does seem like a waste of time.
Sometimes it helps me because I have a lot of trouble getting out of bed in the morning, especially in the wintertime. You know, I'm just cozed down like a little, you know, nesting animal. And then, I mean, on school days, I have to get up because, you know, we have to get the kids out. But even on Saturdays, sometimes, like, the kids are playing video games. My husband's reading a book. Like, where do I have to be? But I don't like to lie in bed for an hour in the morning because it just, I don't know. I don't like to start my day that way.
Because then it's two. Yep.
You know, it just feels gross. But I will have the thing of like, I have to get out of bed at a 15-minute interval. You know, I just have a lot of number stuff that drives me crazy.
Karen says, I load the kids in the car and then go back in the house for one thing, only to get distracted by 10 other things I also forgot to do. My mom used to tell us to go get in the car and then take forever to come out. I'm repeating the cycle.
Yeah.
Hard to break that cycle.
Really hard to break that cycle. And also, especially, we were just talking about when it gets easier. And one thing we didn't really cover on that episode was the thing of like, when you don't have to bring 40 things to go somewhere, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you remember flying? I mean, I had three kids in diapers at some point flying. I mean, I was like a pack mule with the diaper bag and the formula. The six different outfits, the wipes, because if something goes wrong, like there's no room for error. Like you have to have a military grade kit with you in for every possible scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just get in the car, you know, it's so nice. But I have no judgment for the mom who's going back in the house a million times. I mean, we just this morning we're going, you forgot your form that shows your temperature. I mean, it's crazy.
That's been very hard, I find, with my kids are all in school, out of school. Now it's closed, now it's back, right? And that, like, when they haven't been in school for a couple weeks and then they start again, to leave with their shoes and don't forget your belt or you get a demerit and don't forget your slip and don't forget your lunch. And it becomes so insurmountably hard all over again.
I will say, I know we're not giving advice, but last night, I sat down with one of my guys who it's always the frenzy in the morning. Like he's, you know, the kid with like the cartoon of him is like papers flying in the air all around his head, and went through his entire backpack and I made folders like, OK, this is your folder for your art paperwork. And also he normally would have a locker, but they're not allowing lockers this year. Mm-hmm. And so he's carrying all this stuff back and forth. His backpack has had every piece of paper he's been handed since September in it, in just a jumble, you know.
Yeah.
We went through it all. We sorted it into folders and then we pared it down until he had four folders, his spiral notebook. And I made him a little chart for the wall by the door that he's got to fill in. I made it like rectangles. So he fills them in until it's a solid line and then he can leave. He got really into it. We'll see how long it lasted. But I was like, that was worth that thing of taking half an hour to do it and saving ourselves every single morning. Just being like, which of these 8 billion pieces of floating paper do you think you'll need? And then he would get to school, have the wrong one, get in trouble and be upset. You know, nightmare.
Sounds familiar.
Let's talk about inertia. Kate says, I'll sit down in front of the TV or computer while my twins are napping with the intention of just being there 15 minutes while I eat lunch, then getting up and going, doing what I have to do. Almost always, I end up getting sucked into whatever show I'm watching or whatever I'm doing and lose all energy and motivation. I mean, Kate, same. She says, I think it's probably fine to do some days, but I prefer to do it intentionally. And I think that's the problem.
Right. That's right. It's relaxation that doesn't feel like relaxation because you're wasting your relaxation time mad at yourself. You're not doing stuff instead of being like, now I do stuff and now I'm just watching TV.
Yeah. And for me, like sitting hunched over my phone and doom scrolling Twitter is not actually relaxing. Like it doesn't actually give me that good feeling that like stretching for 10 minutes or something would. And that's where the inertia part plays into it. We recently, my dad moved and he gave us 2 Lazy Boy recliners. And my husband and I joked that like, we're going to get trapped in them. Like, we're going to be those people who grow into them because
they just meld to you. Like you just, they graft to your skin. Yeah.
And it is the kind of thing. They're so comfortable. Your body just sinks in them and you're like, this is paradise. It's like being cradled by a lover. I don't know. It's amazing.
And why are they so ugly? Right.
These are not that ugly. They're kind of, they're like, what do you call it? Like hidden Lazy Boys. Like they look like regular leather chairs.
Stealth recliner. Uh-huh.
They look like kind of nice leather chairs and then you pop them out into Lazy Boys. So they're not like the giant overstuffed kind, but they're super comfortable. And then we have them in front of our fireplace. And when the fire is going, you're like, one of the kids could need to go to the hospital. And we would just be like, you have to go. I'm too cozy. We are stuck in these things. Kelly says, and I love this one. This is so
I love this one too.
I save old clothes and call them my gardening clothes, knowing they are too ugly even for yard work. I have 3 bins of gardening clothes.
Yep.
This problem, who annoys themselves out there? Raise your hand unless you're driving with the like, I will use this someday for some other great purpose.
My spouse did not grow up during the Great Depression, but he has this like, he calls them knocking around clothes. I don't know where that term came from, but we don't garden.
Is your spouse 140?
Knocking around. He's like, I saved this for knocking around. Like, no, throw out the knocking around clothes. Now that's your knocking around.
He's like, I'm going to knock around. See, that's what I'm going to do today.
Knocking around, man. Knocking around clothes.
He's got like 18 knocking around t-shirts, like throw away 11 of those. And that, yeah, like you need to move things further down the pipeline. I feel this. Just throw it out or give it away.
Yeah. I mean, I just think the aspirational
maybe I'll still use this.
Yeah. This is the meme of, I wish I was the person I thought I was when I bought all this organic produce. Like, it's like everyone thinks they're the person who's going to use miso paste when they get home from the grocery store.
Yeah.
And then everyone is the person who throws miso paste away at some point. Like, it's like
when it expires. Yeah.
I have found that is something I've gotten a little better at. Like, if I ever refit in these jeans, I'll rebuy them when I'm skinny. How about that? Because I'm not going to just buy stuff or keep stuff that is useless. You know, the clothes where I'm like, I'm going to repair this. I'm not going to repair it. Spoiler alert. Let's move into the category of social awkwardness because there's a lot of social awkward out there, Amy.
Oh, I so annoy myself with my social awkwardness.
I know. Nicole says, I feel I said too much or too little or said the wrong things when she's out socializing. And let me tell you, we don't go out anymore. So that solved it. But every single time my husband and I came home, I'm like, did I talk too much? And he's like, no. But he's like, yes, you definitely talked too much. It was awkward.
Melissa says silence makes her uncomfortable. So she ends up oversharing or saying something she wishes she hadn't because there was a break in the conversation.
This is my whole life. It's like going and being like, whoa. And I, you know, like to be the life of the party and always think I'm hilarious. And whoa, the many nights of regrets I have spent being like, I think I let that joke go on about 10 times too long. And I was like loud and obnoxious. Don't invite me to parties. I'm a very loud and obnoxious party guest. And a couple drinks. And let me tell you, it doesn't help.
Brittany says that she sometimes forgets to greet people. I just drive right into whatever conversation has been going on in my head for the past 6 minutes. Would offering a simple hello, how are you as a conversation precursor kill me? Apparently it would. Hashtag working on this. Yeah, I feel this. I feel this. I feel like I have like that double Dutch thing of like people are talking and I want to talk to them. And do I do it? How about now? I have that.
I just want to put in everyone's path, including my own, that this is my ex-boyfriend's advice. You would be so much happier if you realized how rarely anyone else ever thought of you. Like, very, very few people go home and are like, did you notice how weird Amy was being at the party? I mean, they really don't. They're busy being weird themselves. Everyone feels this way, and like, make some good friends and they get that you're weird. I mean, we went out to a fire pit the other night in our friend's backyard, and I was explaining some quirk of my personality, and the husband was like, Meg, if I had enough time to analyze this, like, I would get paid $1 million. Like, you're such a weirdo. And I'm like, I know, but what can you do? Like, your friends love you for being weirdos, and people who don't know you, they might just be like, that person was weird, but who cares, you know?
I feel this one. Michelle says, I forget somebody's name about 3 seconds after they introduce themselves. I've tried repeating it out loud, making word associations. I can't do it. I have to meet someone like 6 times to consistently remember their name.
I have to meet someone 60 times to remember their name. This is my Achilles heel, tragic flaw. Can never run for politics.
I'm pretty good with names, but I'm terrible with faces. You know, like Brad Pitt has face blindness, but at least he's Brad Pitt. He's famous.
Amy, I did not know that Brad Pitt has face blindness. Like, I love that you said that. Like, it's a universally accepted fact.
You know, that podcast, Brad Pitt has face blindness.
You know Brad Pitt, he has face blindness. What are you talking about? I know a lot of things about Brad Pitt too, but I did not know he has face blindness.
Yes, Brad Pitt says that he forgets people's faces, and so people have to reintroduce themselves to him, and he's very embarrassed by that. But of course, he's Brad Pitt, so you would give him a little bit more leeway than me. But I remember names, but not faces. It's something I am like working on. Like, Michelle is trying to remember names.
I'm the opposite.
I'm stuffing their face into my eyes so that I will remember them.
Well, we're a good pair because I will always remember that I met someone before. But let me tell you, here's a good tip. Move to the phrase, it's great to see you.
Yep.
It doesn't mean you can say it to someone you've never met, or you can say, because people definitely have that thing of, and whatever, we've done a bunch of like local shows here with the podcast back in the day. So there's definitely people who have seen us on stage for 90 minutes and I've met them for 1 second. Like, it's like we don't have the same amount of recognition of each other. I just go with, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
Because then they don't know. Because when you say it's nice to meet you, often people will be like, we've met. And it is. It's annoying. You know, everyone knows people who, like, you've introduced yourself to them 10 times and you're like, there is like, oh, yes, it's so nice to meet you. And it's like, we know each other, you know?
We have met before. Yeah.
Just go with, it's nice to see you. You'll never go wrong. All right. We'll be right back.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
And now, times you should maybe let people into your mess a little bit less.
from the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Okay, so I know I was supposed to bring Rice Krispies for the bake sale tomorrow, but it turns out that my second grader needed a costume for the school play, which I had totally forgotten about, and he's supposed to be tree number three, and so all of a sudden I'm trying to find brown pants and a green shirt, and then I'm supposed to make like these leaves for the shirt, and I'm really not artistic at all, and the poor guy looks like the Swamp Thing and totally nothing at all like a tree, so I didn't have time to bake, so I just brought this box of cereal. I don't know. Maybe someone at the bake sale just really likes cereal?
Dear Mrs. Smith, I apologize that Jacob showed up late for preschool this morning. I realized by the time he got there, the day was, you know, pretty much over. But Jacob decided this morning that he had a new thing where he just really doesn't want to wear pants. Like, ever. Not even to school. So that took a while to sort out. It's totally not acceptable, I get it. But he really did enjoy the 20 minutes he did get to spend in class before being asked to leave for taking off his pants. And I told him, no more taking off his pants in school, ever. I think he gets that now.
So sorry that my car is a bit messy. I was not expecting to give anyone a ride home today. I know it smells like I'm transporting a bunch of dead animals in the trunk, but I swear I'm not. My son just spilled a super-sized vanilla milkshake in the back seat on the way home from hockey practice last month, and the guy at the detailing place says that smell is never coming out.
Oh, hi. Oh, I know. I look a mess. My bad. Do you ever have one of those days where you're just like, you've got yesterday's makeup running down your face and your hair is like sticking up in every direction, and the idea of putting pants with a button on is just like, yeah, no thanks. So you just tell yourself, sorry, world, this is as good as it's going to get today. And then you're like, these slippers kind of look like shoes, right? And then you just totally go for it and you just head out the door looking like a hot mess express. And you're just like, I guess everyone's just going to have to accept me for what I am today.
Ma'am, that will be $87.15 for these groceries.
Oh. Oh no, totally my bad. I think I might have forgot my wallet. Yeah, I definitely don't have it.
This has been Times You Should Maybe Let People Into Your Mess a Little Bit Less.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Melanie says, I get a song stuck in my head that I only know one line to, like Real Love by Mary J. Blige from the Target commercial. I have sung Real Love. I'm searching for that Real Love 500 times today.
Yeah.
And I definitely know this feeling, and I have it as well. Song stuck in your head. Oh, it's the greatest path to self-annoyance.
You know what I do that I annoy myself and certainly my family members? I can't even explain why I do this, but I've always done this. I sing the next lyric that's going to be in the song, like, but a little bit before. Like, I, like, beat the clock a little bit with it.
Oh, that is extremely annoying.
Yeah, like, I sing, like, the first line of the second verse while it's still the music between the chorus and the second verse. And they're like, why do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why I do that.
When you have five people in a pandemic stuck together, the rules around who is allowed to sing what get really strict really fast.
Sure.
My husband sings in harmony to songs. Unacceptable. I have tried to break it to him that is like basically a capital offense. And like he will be stripped of his place in our family and ejected. But
is it existing harmony or is he like just sort of freelancing? He's going in new directions.
He's freelancing. Yeah. He's just getting his harmony on. Unacceptable. But my kids in the car, they get very annoyed when anyone sings along, which I agree. It can be very, very annoying. Like listening to someone else sing is a terrible experience, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess it is.
But at the same time, when you're on a road trip, am I expected never to just catch a groove and sing? I'm looking for some real love. I don't know what to do with these kids.
This is a classic. Anne-Marie says she puts her coffee in the microwave to heat it and then forgets about it and finds it hours later when she opens the microwave again.
I committed to the mug. Did you commit to the mug for Christmas?
No, the like e-mug? No, but
we talked about it for our Christmas episode.
It was super secret things we can't live without. I'll put the link in the show notes.
I was talking about this mug that's like an e-mug that heats up and it keeps your coffee to the same temperature all day. And I will say, it was much more expensive than I thought it was going to be. I think I said it was like $70. It was twice probably. It was stupid expensive. But then by that point, of course, I had like
crossed it off my husband's list as the thing I was going to get him. So I was like, I guess I'm paying it twice as much for it now because I'm not going to think of something else. And I had it shipped to our old house by accident because I was using an old Target account. So anyway, it was a bit of a flaw of a gift. But let me tell you, my husband now has it. He loves it. And the big thing he was saying is it's cutting down on how much coffee he drinks because his one cup of coffee stays hot all day.
Oh.
So he was drinking like 2/3 of 4 cups of coffee. And now he sips on 1 cup of coffee all day. And he likes it much better. Michelle overestimates the level of energy she has, making grandiose plans on crafts and activities with the kids, followed by deep cleaning and exercise while they nap, just setting myself up for failure.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
We call this the Florida experience in our house. Like, my dad lives in Florida, and usually we go there for a week after Christmas every year. And every year, without fail, my husband and I are like, let's sit down one more in Florida. We'll make a budget. I have these 7 books I'm going to read. I'm going to completely revise and revamp the system. We do this for the podcast. Like, I make a list of 45 things as if I'm going to, I don't know. I always just think that Florida is a magical land where I have all the time in the world to do all of the things. And do you know what I do when I get to Florida? I start drinking at 11 in the morning and I sit in a lawn chair all day. Like, what am I doing? But every year I fall for the Florida trap.
You know, and then, but you don't spend your time in the chair with your rosé being like, shoot, I have so much I'm supposed to do today. You need to have your do things times and your not do things times and just be honest with yourself. Don't annoy yourself.
Yeah, but that's never going to happen, too. Like, I'm never going to be honest. I will live the rest of my life being like, gosh, when I'm in Florida, I'll write those thank you notes. It's not going to happen, but obviously some part of my brain is comforted by thinking I will do those things.
Jennifer, I feel this one. I look at the instructions in the package of something, then throw the package away. 2 seconds later, I have forgotten what I'm supposed to do, so I have to get out of the garbage to reread the instructions.
Absolutely. And I will say, I can take this a step further. I mean, cooking instructions, yes, doing it all the time. But I have finally accepted that I am a person who cannot extrapolate information off of written instructions. I have to give them to my husband and get him to explain. Like, board games, you know, we just got this new game for Christmas that looks really fun, but I have to wait until my husband can read the instructions and explain to me how to play because it's one of those, like, the first player turns the I cannot do it. I can never read instructions. I have to watch a YouTube video or something. I cannot do it.
I was going to say, there were really good YouTube instructional videos these days about board games because we got some complicated board games for Christmas. And there's one that actually had, like, here's the 3-minute how to play and here's the 20-minute how to play. And we watched them both. Yeah. Videos are better for a lot of things.
I'm missing that part of my brain.
YouTube taught me how to get a watermark out of a coffee table recently, like a nice, like, dark wood coffee table. Got a, you know, cup mark, like, water stain in it. I would think that was ruined. No, let me tell you. White towel, hot iron, just came right up.
Look at you.
Thank you, YouTube. I know. That one's free, everybody.
Thank you, YouTube. We're also on YouTube. What Fresh Hell Podcast, the YouTube. Go check us out. We're not helpful, but we're hopefully funny.
Magdalena, she can't get to the post office. She packs gifts, hand-me-down items for her niece, anything I need to physically ship, seal them, address them, then let them sit in my trunk for 6 weeks before I go to the post office.
But that's nice for your packages. They get a little tour of the town. They get to hang out for a while. Who needs to rush them to the post office? I do find that, like, I can, like, move 400 stacks of wood in my backyard to where they need to be, but I cannot fill my car with gas. Like, that errand to me is torture. And the post office is the same way. Those small, annoying errands, I just can't face them for some reason. They involve human contact. I'm talking before the pandemic. It's not even like I don't want to be around people. It's like, the post office is the worst of all the errands. Horrible. Barbara is a person after my own heart. Forgets her lists. Where I put them, if I have the list with me, I always manage to drop it or leave it on the shelf when I'm looking for things. Maddening. If I've gone to a store 400 times in the last year, I've forgotten my list 379 times.
Yep.
Always.
This is what my husband does. If he goes to the grocery store, he makes a list and then leaves the list home. Yep.
But you know what? My husband, thank God, has the same Achilles heel because one of us will, we keep, as you know, a whiteboard. So the list is on the whiteboard. So one of us will just call home and be like, I need a picture of the whiteboard.
Sounds like you solved it.
Yeah, we did kind of. You got to have workarounds for these things. Let me tell you, when you get to a certain age, you're just like, this is not fixable. This can't be fixed. And so I'm not going to beat my head against this forever. I'm just going to call it.
Jennifer says she overestimates her ability to carry things, and I inevitably enter and exit my car awkwardly. Zero grace.
Yeah.
I blame my past career as a teacher, Jennifer says. We're notorious pack mules.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody has that thing, right? Of like, I can make this in one trip.
I can do these 10 grocery bags in one trip. Yep.
Did your family have the expression lazy man's load?
No. What's that?
That's the lazy man's load is when you take 400 grocery bags and drop them all as opposed, I mean, you don't even have to drop them, but like trying to take too much stuff in one trip is called the lazy man's load. And that was always like a, I was always critique when I was growing up, like, oh, Meg's got her lazy man's load.
It sounds like an Aesop's fable, like one day.
Exactly. The lazy man tried to take right. all of the packages and ruin, and the village starved. Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly what it is. Lindsay is absent-minded. I am busy with a task in one room, then I realize I need something related to that task in a different room. I probably had to get the item, but once I entered in the next room, I completely forgot what I'm looking for or why I needed it.
Yep, I feel you, Lindsay. You're annoying, and so am I.
Yeah, this doesn't get better, by the way, with age. This does not get better.
No.
Jillian is extremely forgetful. Anna Lynn makes a to-do list from the night before. The next morning, I look at it, and I feel something along the lines of, why is this jerk trying to kill my spontaneity? You can't control me.
Wow.
Oh, that is another Achilles heel of mine, of like, fun Meg doesn't want to do the things that work Meg wants. You know what I mean? I'm always like, I have the two sides of my personality then. And I'm just like, fun me is always just like, stop being such a drag with these to-do lists. Like, let's just read Twitter and the lazy boy. You know, I mean, I definitely have this internal battle.
That is not me. I'm a little bit annoying to myself with the other way.
You're working me all the time.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like, make list, and like, you jerk, you only did 12 things and you had 14 on here. It's like, well, it's 12 hours after you started. Maybe you can let yourself go a little bit. Nope.
That's hilarious. Mm-mm. Yeah. No, it's a very different. I mean, it's two sides of the same crazy, but it's just, you know, it's a different side of crazy.
At least I'm that Alexa who only refills the Brita 47% of the time and just leaves it empty, and then she wants water and then she has to wait for it.
Oh, I'm like 12% of the time. We've got a lot of people who leave their cabinets open. This seems to be a huge problem for Jordan, Gina, Karen, Jillian, and Jordan. Oh, Jordan must have replied again.
She does it twice. She hates herself so much.
This is a weird OCD thing with me. I can't stand when a cabinet is open. So like my husband and I will be talking, and I'm like, can you shut that cabinet behind you before we keep talking? Like, I can't stand the sight of an open cabinet. But I am the world's, I've said this before, I am the world's messiest cook. Every single thing gets used. I mean, it's insane. Thank God I cook and my husband does the dishes. Thank God he's an angel, because I mean, I cook like a tornado has come through.
And then he has to clean it up?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have to, but that's sort of the deal.
That's the rule?
Well, as I've said before, one thing that I think I've really improved my life by doing is having very clear work delineations in the household. My husband and I don't have a lot of conflict anymore, because like, I'm in charge of the dining room and living room. You're in charge of the kitchen and the playroom. I do our bedroom. You know, I don't know. We have our spheres, and that works really nicely for
zone defense.
We're all zone defense, and it's, you know, it works for us. Let's go with a hilariously weird and sideways one. Laura is a loose cap twister. I twist the caps onto things really loosely. For example, a jar of peanut butter. I will set it back in the cupboard with the lid on it so it looks normal. But the next time my husband and I go to pick it up by the lid, the entire jar of peanut butter falls.
Oh.
A loose lid twister.
Attacher. Yeah, that's annoying.
I mean, that's a weird one.
I would be annoyed if I did that.
To yourself.
Right. To rap, I think that would be annoying for me.
Yeah, yeah.
To me.
My kids are extreme. I know. I get the point is we're only supposed to be talking about ourselves, but the people in my life are very annoying, Amy. I'm sorry. My kids are big on putting things back on a shelf, but like 2/3 of the package is still off the shelf.
Mm. It's cantilevered. It's kind of...
Well, we store a lot of stuff on our refrigerator top because it's just a good place to put stuff. And I'm constantly being struck in the head by like Chips Ahoy cookies, because they just... They don't put it on the shelf. They put it adjacent to the shelf, with most of it is still off the shelf.
Right. It physically relates to the shelf. It reminds me of our old acting classes, right? Like, relate in some physical way to the shelf. It's up to you how you do it. Chips Ahoy. Just kind of hang.
Yeah. No, it's your choice. Your choice. Let's finish strong with something incredibly random, Amy. Let's go with people who don't know their right from their left.
Oh, this is me. I have to do the R and the, like, the backwards L and the forwards L sometimes to check.
I have broken this. I remember doing it really late. And I remember my mom being completely appalled that I was like a 17-year-old still holding up my L. But I've got it now. I've got it. I've mastered left and right. Next up, Amy, multiplication tables. I don't know. I'm old and I finally just got the hang of it. Like left and right. I get it. And I can even do like stage right, stage left. I can do the mirroring of left and right. I'm pretty good. Your left is my right. I get it. I'm all in.
You know, I think the takeaway is that you get to be the old age that we are, not knowing our right from our left, making lists and leaving them home and putting the jars on too loosely. Like we make it. We do it anyway, despite all of our annoying things we do to ourselves. We make it through.
And we accept the things we cannot change, Amy. Yes, we really yes. do. We're like, yeah, that's annoying, but that's me. Sorry, guys.
It's just me.
All right. Come out to our Facebook page and tell us what you are doing to annoy yourself. Facebook.com/WhatFreshHellcast. And you know you can find us on social anywhere by Googling What Fresh Hell Podcast. We're on Twitter, TikTok, everywhere, Instagram, Twitter. I said Twitter twice. Come on over.
Pinterest. Pick something else, you know?
And don't forget, please leave us a rating or review. It really helps other people find our podcast. And we will talk to you next week, you annoying monsters.
So long, everybody.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.